Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions this weekend. We hope that you're having a weekend where Christ is being seen and heard in your life. That is the purpose of Exploring Missions, to amplify Jesus Christ and to make His name known. Well, our guest today on Exploring Missions is someone that if you've listened to AFR, you may have heard before, maybe in a long program or sometimes just a soundbite. But it is a joy to have Dr. Baruch Korman with us today. Thank you, Doctor, for coming and sharing this time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let me make sure everyone knows this. You can hear Lost in Translation at 12 noon Central every Saturday. That's Lost in Translation. Now, where did you come up with that name?
Well, we love the Word of God, and unfortunately, many things are lost from God's Word because of faulty translations. So we emphasize the original language. We want to connect people, not with translations, but we want to do our best to connect them with the revelation of God, that they might hear the truth of God and implement it into their lives.
And not only the language, but culture, especially the Hebrew culture. Man, I found out in my study and trying to do the research, that really makes a big difference, like weddings and every part of it. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's the foundation of who we are, culture. God uses that. In fact, in His Word, He uses such things as we talked earlier in our devotion time today, the festivals, yes. His festivals. And, for example, we know that's coming up in a few months is the Feast of Tabernacles, where we're called to remember the time in the wilderness. Whenever that word wilderness appears, we need to think about dependence upon God, trusting God, relying upon God. So those things are clues to help us understand God's revelation so we can serve Him better.
You know, when I hear you say that, I can't help but think God is a God of purpose. That really grabs me every time I think of the festivals, a purpose for them to remembering God, to get out of their routine and look at what God is doing. Because even like the Sabbath, get out of your routine and come to me. It speaks loudly, doesn't it?
What you say is very profound, very accurate, because God wants to work change in our life. And these festivals, these traditions and such, they all contain revelation so that we have godly change, not just any type of change, but His change in our life. And I think we can all look at ourselves, if we do so in light of God's Word. Every day I read the commandments of God, I find that I fall short of God's glory, that I need change in my life, and He's the only one that can make that change. And we're called doing missions. We want to remember the one who sent us and the power He sent us with and the authority so that we can be a catalyst to change. That's what mission is all about.
Amen. I want to go back, if you would, to the Abrahamic covenant in the book of Genesis 12, and God calls Abraham out. And I look at the land, yes, the people, yes, but also see the purpose. So the land even had purpose. I want to ask your thoughts on this, and I'm a geographical guy. I love geography. And when I see that land that God gave to Abraham, it's not exactly, but it's as close as you could get where three continents connect. And Europe come down, Asia come over, Africa come up, the known world at that time, and He places Israel right in the middle of it. That's missional even in geography, isn't it?
It's absolutely mission-based. There's a purpose behind it. And when we look at covenant, Judaism will tell us a covenant is a container of blessing. When we look, as you began our discussion with the Abrahamic covenant, what's the purpose of that? He wants to bless all the families of the earth.
Amen.
Not just the Jewish families, not just the good families or the wealthy families or the nice people, but God's approach, his purpose, is to bless all the families of the earth. Now, he has a way to do that. We need to submit to that, but that's his purpose, blessing.
Now, I want to go one step further, and I thought of this today after hearing you and when I was going to interview you, placing them in the land and giving them the details concerning life. Sometimes we call it the law. Yeah, you had the law concerning worship, but you also had the law concerning living and what a measurement was, to do it correctly, how to speak, how to treat a stranger when they come. The missional purpose was, and I'm not stretching it, but I could not help but think, come and see and experience. In other words, as you travel through Israel, you're going to be treated differently than you when you travel through another land. You're going to be treated with respect as a human being. That was missional even there. Now, that was the Old Testament. In the New Testament with the church, it kind of changes. It says, don't come and see, go and tell. But it's still missional, isn't it?
It is missional. It is about telling. It's also, as we heard at the beginning of your show, it's about teaching us to obey.
Yeah.
And this is something I think much of the church struggles with. And in the mission field, are we doing a good job teaching this and conveying it to the people that we're ministering to, what our mission is about, that God wants us to obey him. We're not saved by obedience, but the purpose for our salvation is that we become changed. We become that new creation. And through the gifting of the Holy Spirit, we now have the potential where we didn't lose, but now we do, to obey God. And obedience brings about good things into our life. It deepens our experience with God. We get to know God better. There's a very important scripture that's found in Exodus 24, verse 7. And most Bibles translate it incorrectly. That's why we have that show, Lost in Translation, because what it says in Hebrew, Naaseh v'tishma. Naaseh means we will do. Most Bibles will say, and we will obey, because it makes sense. We will do this, we're going to obey it. But that's not what it says. It says, we will do, and we will hear. What that tells me is this: when I submit to God's revelation, when I embrace his purposes, not my purposes, not yours, but when I embrace God's purposes, that puts me in a situation where I can now hear from God. It's only through obedience to God's instructions that we're going to hear those things for our personal life. Where does God want me to live? Who does he want me to marry? What does he want me to study? These things aren't written in the scripture. Why? He gives us his commandments that we embrace those, and they become instruments of where God guides us personally. That gives us an excitement to experience God.
That reminds me of a scripture in James. I think it's James 1:21. It says, receive the word. It really means welcome the word. When you welcome the word in doing the word, he brings revelation. I mean, not revelation in the sense of who he is, but revelation to our lives of where we should go and what we should do.
He brings his presence into our life through that. And that changes everything.
Amen.
If what we need more than anything else, and this is what mission really comes down to, we want to introduce people to who God is, his wonderful character, his wonderful purposes that he sets apart, he sanctifies. That relates to purpose. He has a purpose for our life. But until we know him, and we can only know him through redemption, our life's not going to change. God wants to do so much more in our life. He's a God of abundance who gives us life and life ever more abundantly. But if we're not dealing with his word, if we're not walking in his will, then our life is going to become very stagnant. It's going to be frustrating. And God is not a God of frustration. We need to know that. If we feel frustrated, it's because we're missing something. It's not a problem with God. It's a problem with us.
Amen. Another area, and I wanted to little turn the table, and it's Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One. When you see all of those, and I'm asking, I don't know this, is anything lost in translation from the Old Testament Messiah to the New Testament Christ Messiah, meaning the Anointed One? You know, I love those, all three, but is there anything, when you talk about lost in translation, is anything lost in translation in those?
I really don't think they are, whether we say Messiah or Christ. Now, when we're dealing with people groups, it matters. When the Jewish people hear Christ, they don't associate that term Christ with the anointed one, with the Messiah. So that's why we tend to use the term Messiah more than Christ if we're speaking to a Jewish group in English. Now, it's simple in Hebrew because when you're speaking Hebrew, and most of our work is done in Hebrew, when we're doing it in Hebrew, it's the word Mashiach.
Right.
They hear it, it's not a problem. But no, I think that very clearly, whether we use the term Messiah or Christ, it's speaking just what you said, the anointed one. But what does that mean? Now, I don't know how much of the church, when I, as a Jew, hear the term Messiah or Mashiach, what comes into my mind is king. I don't know if the church, when they hear Christ, if they're thinking Christ the king. That's what the term anointed one refers to, one who is the authority. Mm-hmm. Another term, we all know about parables. Many people don't know that the word parable derives from the Hebrew word for government. Why? What a parable teaches is supposed to govern our life. So Messiah was just not teaching us stories. He was teaching us things that need to rule our life if we're going to experience what most of the parables are about, and that's kingdom truth, kingdom revelation, kingdom change.
I want to, the anointed one, when some of the Old Testament people, and they would read concerning the suffering servant, it was like they were looking for two different ones. They could not conceive of the anointed one being the suffering servant. Is that an issue today with, you know, in missions with Jews?
Here again, very, very profound what you're saying, because yes, there is, in fact, Judaism teaches there's two different messiahs. There's not just one messiah. Judaism says there's Ben Yosef, that suffering servant, and Ben David, that coming king that's going to rule and be a deliverer like David was, that warrior ruler. But the first person who understood it right, and a lot of Christian commentaries miss it, they don't understand it, but John the Baptist, when John was in prison, he sent word asking, you know, this is what I'm seeing. Are you the one who is coming, or should we expect another? So many Christian commentators feel like John, because he's in prison, he's having a crisis of faith. Far from it. What John knew when he proclaimed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he knew Jesus was that suffering servant. He knew what he was going to do. He was preparing the way. What John didn't know, that he's also, there's not two, but there's only one. He's going to do both purposes, both roles. So when he says, are you the one who is coming, or should we expect another? What did Christ say? He spoke to him and saying, this is what you see. Go tell John, this is what you're seeing. He affirmed that he was right. There is not two. There's only one. And that's within the context of Jesus saying, of those born of women, no one's greater than John. John got it right. So it's a good thing.
Amen. One more thing that I want to make sure that we talk about, and that's the Great Commission in the New Testament. Most of the time we go to Matthew 28, you know, 18 through 20. But isn't it neat that all four Gospels, may not in those exact words, but they're missional. And I wanted your thoughts on it. Of course, Matthew 28, we lead that out with this program every day, people quoting it.
Wonderful.
And they're from all nationalities, speaking English, but they're from all nationalities all over the world, saying this is he. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, every creature. The gospel and missions, I don't believe you separate them. Is that what you get? There is impossible to separate it. The gospel, it's missional.
Absolutely, I agree with you. But here's the problem. When most people hear in the church today the gospel, well, they'll say good news. Well, but that word gospel, besorah in Hebrew, means something much more. It's good news specifically about redemption. And again, our show Lost in Translation, many people don't know that the word gospel in Hebrew derives from the same word for flesh. What's the good news? the good news that God has visited his people in the flesh, that Jesus took on human flesh in order to do that work of redemption. So you cannot separate the incarnation from the work of Christ of redemption. Those things are seen in that word gospel. And we do. We have that great commission to proclaim that truth concerning redemption and how redemption came about.
The other part is in Luke, and it says to all nations. As I said earlier, when you look at the Old Testament and God placing them there in Israel, I don't know how it's to say this, and I could be wrong. I think it's assumed of people moving and going through, so come and see, but to all nations. Lost in translation. Most of the time, are you speaking to English audiences, or are you all over the world in your ministry?
Well, in our work that we do, we go to many different places, and we use translators. We were just recently in Finland. Of course, we have to have it in the Finnish language, where we go to many different, we work in 27 different languages, so constantly we're doing it in other languages. But what God's doing, and he's doing, he's began it nearly 2,000 years ago, and there's no change. His purpose is to bring a remnant. That's such an important word. A remnant from every nation, every people, every tribe, and every language. The gospel is not for Israel exclusively. It came first to them, but the gospel is for humanity. And that's the message that we want to share. That message of redemption, that good news, is for humanity. That's God's plan, and that's what mission is about.
So, and I just do want you to comment on this. My son that does this program with me, he was working with refugees who had languages where the Bible was not translated into their language. And they would have to find a, some people call it a trade language that they understood, but yet it was not, it did not, the only word I know, it didn't click with them. It wasn't their heart language. Lost in translation. With us having the Bible, even in our translation, is awesome and wonderful and missional. So a mission of the church, we want to reach every tribe, every tongue, and there's still unreached people groups there. Sometimes trying to get the Bible into their heart language is a difficult task, but because of people desiring to do so, isn't that where the Holy Spirit of God can even, do you think he even works? They spoke in tongues at the day of Pentecost. What they did, they heard the gospel in their own language. God can, as important as it is to translate, nothing's going to stop God from going in and touching that life like he did Rahab, like he did the Ethiopian eunuch. They were not supposed to be saved. But God, isn't that the mission of God? God's going to get it to every creature and every person.
It is the mission of God. We know that ultimately, we look, for example, at Revelation 14:6 and Matthew 24, verse 14. It says that there's a requirement. This is God's requirement. That gospel of the kingdom, I love that term, the gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed to every nation as a testimony to them before the end. What end are we talking about? The end of the church age.
Yeah, agree.
So that tells us something, that the purpose of the church is missions. We are called to share that message of redemption, the only message of redemption, with every nation, every people, every tribe, and every language. If we're not doing that, we're not agreeing with God's call for the church.
One more thing, and it's in John because I wanted to make sure Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all missional. I love what John says, and I want you to comment on it. John 20, verses 30 through 31, all these things I've written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's the purpose, isn't it?
Yes.
That's it.
He's the Christ. We talked about that's King. Is he ruling your life? Missions, proper missions, teach people how to experience God's lordship over their life. Our salvation's not dependent upon that, but the purpose of our salvation is to demonstrate that we have a king and that we love this king, we obey this king, and we worship this king.
Dr. Corman, thank you for being with us on Exploring Missions.
Thank you.
And again, may God bless you. And you have a website. I failed to do that at the beginning. so important that people know that. Your website is loveisrael.org.
That's right.
You can go there and you can find a lot of your teaching and different things. So thank you for your work and keep it up.
Thank you, Bert.
You know, in that interview, we find out that there's a lot to learn. And when we read the scriptures and we come across some actions or events and even words that are used, we wonder, okay, there's a little deeper meaning there. Nathan, when that occurs, you know, in the scriptures, to have a little bit better understanding. And I thank God that some resources are available so we can research Jewish culture and the geography of everything to give us a better understanding of the truths the Bible is speaking of. Doesn't that make a difference?
Yeah, I really have enjoyed digging deep into different means of study, understanding that background, that heritage, that biblical background. And as you do that, one of the amazing things, one of the clearest things to me is at the very birth of the nation of Israel, I'm speaking of even the very root of that, going back to Abraham, at the call of Abraham. And so you could extend that and say at the call of Israel, and you could extend that and say just all of God's people, right? The very call of God's people as a people, a call to himself, was also a call to be a blessing to the peoples of the world and all the families of the world. So you really see a call to God is also a call to the world. And so it's pretty amazing when you study that and look at that. We do that a lot here, where we trace the biblical basis of missions throughout the Bible, even through the Old Testament, even all the way back to Genesis.
And that scripture, again, Genesis 12, and what Nathan quoted is in verse 3, the last part, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, when we see that, we know of the Jewish nation, but also we find out, especially Paul would teach this in the book of Romans, concerning Abraham's faith, that, let me say it this way and see, would you comment, Nathan, Abraham's seed, yes, you had it in the flesh, but you also had Abraham's seed in the faith. That means the Gentile world, that through the Jewish nation, the world would be blessed. But after that family, that group of people's blessed, we're from Abraham's seed, and we're able to bless others as well, aren't we? Isn't that the mission?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it is on us to do that work. But God's put himself in us to do that work. And it's the work that ultimately was accomplished by Jesus Christ, who is the seed of Abraham. And one of the works that Christ has done has that Jesus has himself grafted us into that vine as a Gentile into that vine. And so we are part of Abraham's family because of Jesus. But then Jesus has sent us out into the world to continue that work. You know, in Isaiah chapter 49, the prophet Isaiah is writing about Jesus, the suffering servant who would come at that time. And one of the things he says about Jesus, he says, "It is not enough for you to be my servant, raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones of Israel. I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And that's what Jesus, that's who he is, and that's who he is expecting his people, even us today, to be about that call and that work of being a light for the nations.
And when you dig in, like you just did, to Isaiah and the Old Testament, and then see it carried over in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in Paul's writings, other writings, you see that mission of in our culture. Yes, you're not asking people to become a American Christian when they live in Central Africa. No, you want them to know Jesus Christ is Savior. It's not the American culture that we as mission or want to carry out. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it makes a difference in their life where they live, because what happened when God gave Israel the land that he gave them right there on the sea and between the rivers and around the rivers, you had three continents close by, Africa, Asia, Europe, and everything, it seems like, and you help me know this more than anybody, Nathan, is when you start seeing the biblical model of missions, you see it in geography, you see it in language, you see it in culture. No wonder this is why I would say Dr. Corman's teaching about what you see in the depth of the Jewish culture helps us to see the mission of God, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, if you don't close your eyes to it, if you're open to see it, you'll see it. It's there, really, in every book of the Bible, on every page, and the purposes of God come through in that everything he has done, from giving Israel the land that he has given them, to giving them the Ten Commandments, to sending them out because of in his judgment, and then gathering them back. All of that was done for that purpose, that the nations, the world, the far-off reaches of the earth will hear and know and see that the Lord is God. And we know that's extended through Jesus, and that's only possible through Jesus. But it started way back with the Jewish people and even in the call of Abraham.
And even in the Mosaic law and how it's to make your measurements real, make sure that what you say you're measuring is the right measurement, weight, length, or whatever. It was missional in the part when they would sell or buy from another individual. These people, you could trust them. That means you could trust what they say about God and salvation. If they can't trust you in things like weight and work, why would they trust you in what you say about God, Nathan?
Yeah, that's right. Our lives and the excellence of how we live our life in integrity, in righteousness, should reflect the excellent one who created us, who called us, who brought us salvation, and who's extending that salvation to others all around the world. But our excellent lives will point to the excellent one.
So our walk and our talk needs to be consistent if we're going to be missional. We see that in the apostles as they would carry the gospel around the world, those people. And so today, as you listen to this interview that I was able to conduct, I pray that you would just listen and say, okay, I want to get into the Word of God. When I study the Word of God and when I see what it says to do, it's missional in my life as I carry it out for life. So I want to say thank you and say thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. And we pray that God would use you in carrying out God's mission in your life here and around the world.